You know, we have talked about remote viewing on this program many, many times, but let's talk about remote viewing the future. What will the future hold? Marty Rosenblatt joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Marty Rosenblatt with us. He was a great guest of mine on Beyond Belief. You can watch that show, too. He's got an MS in physics from UCLA. He's worked for 35 years in the areas of high-energy physics. He is currently the president of the Applied Precognition Project. We'll talk about that, which is a natural follow-up to physics intuition applications, which he founded back in 1998. It's all about remote viewing, folks, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Marty, great to have you on the radio show.
George, great to be here.
God, you were good on that Beyond Belief TV show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was fun.
So much, we got you on the radio show.
Yep.
Here you are. What's new with you?
Well, the big thing now, actually, is we have an upcoming conference in Las Vegas, June 13th to 16th, where it's called Consciousness is Fundamental. And, you know, remote viewing is all about consciousness, and our focus is on foretelling the future, as we discuss here, which is called precognition. So, you know, that's we have about 100 people who are going to show up, and we're going to make predictions and do some wagering in Las Vegas.
I wonder if you can win in Las Vegas that way. Can you?
Well, we've done this many times in the past, and while precognition is not perfect, our hit rate in that kind of environment is about 75%, George.
You're kidding.
No.
Jeez.
No. It's quite good. There's a special energy that comes when you get a lot of people together. So
it sure does. Yeah. Let's talk about that, because that fascinates me. There's a science back there. But give us, Marty, your definition of remote viewing. You know, we get a lot of new people to the program, and some of them aren't aware of the many things we do here. And they hear the word remote viewing, they're not sure what it is, the phrase. What is it?
And here's the definition I'd like to give you, which is a little bit different. Using capabilities of consciousness not currently accepted by our society, and that I think is so important, not currently accepted by our society. Remote viewing is the gathering of information from distant places and distance in time, including the past and the future. So it's gathering information, what many call paranormal techniques. But, you know, paranormal, George, just sort of means society hasn't really grasped yet that you can get information from the future. Precognition is indeed real. It's been studied by science at Stanford Research Institute, at Princeton. There was a research lab. They reproduced these studies. And I must say, as a scientist, I'm rather disappointed in our scientific community for basically discounting the scientific method.
All right. Now, of course, we've interviewed, as you know, Marty, many remote viewers on this program.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, we have remote viewed the present primarily, events that are going on today. We're going to talk with you about the future. But how does remote viewing work, tapping into the future?
You want the short answer?
Well, you're on with me for 2 hours, so it doesn't have to be
well,
too short.
I'll give you the short answer with modification. The short answer is we don't know. We don't know how it works. We do believe, and I certainly believe, it's connected to the most fundamental nature of our reality, because quantum mechanics, which indeed is the very fundamental workings of the physical world, has in it a thing called non-locality, which means that you can indeed connect distant places instantly. Einstein, in fact, never accepted this, but it has been proven that you can tweak something at one point, and it will in fact be known instantly faster than the speed of light at another point. And this is true about information. So we know from precognition, precognition itself may be the actual best evidence that even at a macro scale, the physical scale that we live in, you can gather information from the future, use it in the present time, and this is called entanglement. What you're doing is entangling information between distant places. And I think actually most people recognize that this is true. People have had instances of deja vu, for example, where it's like they thought they've been someplace before. Well, they sort of did get that information from before. Or the telephone call that comes from someone they haven't heard from for 10 years, and yet they sort of thought about that person right before the phone call happened. We're about in terms of applied precognition is doing this on purpose. And that's the big difference. This is a capability which you can do in a purposeful fashion.
The government started, of course, a remote viewing program back in the,
early 70s.
70s, yeah. I was going to say late 60s, early 70s. It has disbanded it, we think. Do you think it is over with the government?
I hope not. You know, there's been a huge amount of previously classified information released, and showing that this capability exists, both, as you point out, a lot of it in present time, but also future time studies, which demonstrate that. So they kind of know the capability is there, and it's hard to believe they would truly walk away from it. I'm no longer involved at all in any secret programs. So, you know, by that very nature, I don't know for sure. I would hope there are black programs there. And I feel pretty comfortable in one way or another. They're still using remote viewers. And I would be pretty certain as well that a lot of other countries are also, because they were certainly involved during the Cold War and that sort of thing.
How'd you get involved in this, Marty?
I was, a working physicist, and I had classifications and connections with the Defense Intelligence Agency. And then I saw this paper by Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ from Stanford Research Institute that was a really tremendous scientific study, and they invented this word remote viewing. You couldn't use psychic phenomenon, and they were in fact funded by the government, but this was an unclassified report in a major journal, and I saw it, and then I went to my DNA contacts and said, gosh, you guys really need to look at this, you know, this seems so relevant. And they actually sent me out to visit Puthoff and Targ, and the whole experiment, the paper was so impressive. It was really the first time I had seen a excellent first-class study, basically proving in a scientific methodology that this ability to gather information from a distance was true. It was only a little later I found out that indeed they were funding.
That's right. And Targ's been on the program a lot of times, and what's so amazing about him is, in all sense of the words, he's blind, and he rides a motorcycle.
Yep.
So there's a remote viewer who's really got to be working hard.
It's true. it's true. He was just one of the founders, and I've actually done workshops with him. And he's just terrific. He does tell a story how using his ability, he feels it actually saved his life. There was a big piece, I think it was a rock that came down from a hill, and he uses a motorcycle, even though he's blind.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how he does that, but he does that.
He does it. He does it.
Yeah, you've heard that as well. And he knew to veer before he went around the corner because he sensed that there was something there.
It's amazing. It truly is. Okay, precognition is the knowledge of an event, a future event.
Mm-hmm.
And you are heading up the Applied Precognition Project. Tell us about that project.
Yes, that is really focused on making the fact that precognition is a reality real to as many people as possible. The goal, and we have a mission statement on our website, and I hope some of your viewers will go to appliedprecog.com.
Oh, they shall. We've got it linked up for you on our website.
Okay, terrific. And the mission is basically to educate society. But the way to do that, in our opinion, especially since science has basically failed, is to bring in, and it's almost like I hesitate to say it because some people respond negatively to it, but to bring in wagering and money, because money speaks to society. And so...
So that's one of the missions.
That is one of the missions. We don't quite say it that way, but that is one of the missions, clearly to educate society. And we teach people how to do precognition and how to apply it. And the application, but not the only one, but the primary application are wagering in either sporting events or financial markets. We're now doing work in Forex using applied remote viewing. And it's not perfect, and not everybody is making money, but a lot of people are. And what we're doing is tracking. As a scientist, one of the big things in science is measurement. And so we have our people do a lot of predictions using this thing called associative remote viewing, and we keep records on the number of hits versus the number of misses, and so we can actually pick out the better remote viewers, and we now have an associated program where there's something called APPI, the Applied Precognition Project Institute, which funds them on a 50-50 basis to continue to do remote viewing, and they can earn money for both themselves and for APPI to continue its work.
All right, Marty, this incredible ability to foretell the future, does it have a length of time to it? I mean, can you tell a year from now as opposed to 20 years from now? How far out can you go?
They've done studies on that actually at Princeton. It's called PAIR, Princeton Engineering Anomalous Research Institute. And, you need to get enough statistics to make a scientific conclusion. The scientific conclusion goes out to about a month. I mean, because if you think about it, if you start making predictions much longer than that, it takes a real long time to get enough data. But they did it, and they know it goes out to a month without seeing any fall off in accuracy. I frankly believe, again, remembering it's not perfect, but I believe that there really is no limit.
Can people at any time access the future?
Yes, and that's the thing about remote viewing is there's like a protocol. That's what I like when I call it purposeful. There's a protocol you go through. If you're prepared to go through this protocol, which you learn, we'll be teaching it at the conference. There are other places you can learn it. And then you can follow that protocol, and in fact, you can access the future with, one way to put it is odds better than chance. But it's important to ask specific questions. I just talked to somebody today that said they had this great insight about a major event coming in Southern California involving, they didn't say earthquake, but it sounded like an earthquake. I'm in Southern California, and, you know, I'm always a little worried about that from time to time. But they pointed out that they had had a previous one, and, gee, it was right, but it wasn't in Los Angeles, which they had predicted. It was someplace else. And you see, and that's the problem. Using precognition in a way which is actionable is part of the challenge. And you need to sort of ask questions about the future, get information in a way which is actionable. Otherwise, how do you use it?
Mm-hmm. Is there science behind it, or is it really primarily paranormal, supernatural?
You see that word again. Society would say, yeah, it's supernatural. It's ESP, extrasensory perception, something like it's not a normal sense. It is absolutely natural. And while we do not have the in-depth physics models for it yet, I believe that there will be eventually a scientific model that connects up physical reality with non-physical reality. And perhaps you want to call that non-physical reality spiritual. The information is coming through our, I call it the subconscious. Other people might call it the higher self. It's coming through something bigger than your normal view of yourself. There's something bigger going on, which is so fantastic when you do this and experience it, because you know you're getting information from something deep within you that is connected to something even deeper again. And in fact, most of us that are in this eventually do, I certainly know I do, get a deeper sense of spirit, a deeper reality that all things are connected. I mean, if I can connect with the future, I can connect with pretty much anything.
Amazing work. It truly is. Now, and anybody can do this?
Well,
with the right training?
I think the answer is yes, and one of the reasons we keep statistics is to see how well different people can do. Different people have different capabilities. They can grow this ability, but at different rates. You know, people are different. And the information comes up through their subconscious, through their psyche, if you will, their personality, from something deep up into the conscious mind, and that's going to be different for everyone. And so they'll start out at different places, but to the extent that they keep doing it for the long term, and that's my interest, is to get as many people as possible that really want to integrate this into their lives for the long term, because this is something that you can apply in your life. But not everybody is going to do it as well as a Joe McMonaco,
right.
Probably the best remote viewer in the world. And by the way, he will be at our conference in Las Vegas, if you pardon the plug.
I have a feeling you guys are going to really play the casinos in Vegas. Why do I feel that way?
In fact, we're going to be doing the conferences for 4 days, and each day...
That's a long time in Vegas, my friend.
And we're going to be doing two sport predictions per day, plus listen to really outstanding speakers. Joe is one, Dean Radin.
All good people. Marty, stay with us. We'll talk more about that. But I want to get into now foretelling the future. I want to see what you folks have seen. Share that with us. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Marty Rosenblatt with us as we talk about remote viewing. Marty, if your remote viewers saw something disastrous in the future, would they go public with it?
Well, you have to realize that our remote viewers, Applied Precognition Project, while they're doing the work for the project, don't take on those kind of tasks. Now, just like everybody else, they do other things. And if they were asked to look at some sort of future disaster, you know, again, the specific tasking is so important. But if they were asked, you know, define the next major terrorist attack, and they got specific enough, I would hope they would try to share it with someone. But you see, the problem is, George, these things are not perfect. We all know there are people out there that do, in fact, do that. They can scare a lot of people, and then it turns out not to be true. And so we are really in the early phases of a paradigm shift where we're learning how to properly use this capability. And those a general question when will there be the next earthquake? How do you take any action on that? It's just not actionable. When will there be another big earthquake that will affect Los Angeles? Now, that would be a very interesting question. And getting a timeline for that and pinning down a timeline is one of the more difficult things to do with confidence. We sort of do it the other way around. We will assume a timeline, like a sporting event, and predict the outcome, a financial event with a specific time frame. That's different than predicting, you know, when will the next big earthquake occur in Los Angeles.
Okay, so let's get into what you specifically have been doing lately, and that's predicting the financial markets and sports outcomes. Did your organization see the debacle of 2007 and 2008?
No. And again, that was not the question that was asked. One of the things that...
So you don't get that intuitive feeling that something's up?
That's kind of different. I have had those kind of feelings, but I don't know when it's going to happen. And so let's say I have the feeling now, and it happens 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. It didn't do me a whole lot of good.
No, or a year from now. Who
or
knows?
A year from now, exactly. You know, people have said they got pieces of 9/11, and I'm not questioning that they did. They did. You know, a major event like that would be known, and there are lots of people now that have shown sessions where they had the information.
My daughter did, Marty, in a precognitive dream, but we didn't know what it was.
That's the point. Thank you. Because, you see, it wasn't actionable. It wasn't at the level of, okay, we know it's going to come in on 9/11, and it's going to be New York, and they're going to go after the Twin Towers. You could take some action under those conditions. Now, I think someday, I really believe we are going to get that good, especially if you can ask questions of the really best precogs, and many of them, so that you can get confirmation from many of them. And again, this gets to what I think is the next big leap in precognition, which is reliability, which I believe will come from the group process. But you need to measure this before someone is going to believe me when I go and tell them that such and such is going to happen. I need to have a track record. Otherwise, why would they believe me?
That's a good point, indeed. So let's look at some of the things that they're predicting in the financial markets. What are they seeing?
Well,
or what have
we,
you? What
me,
have you?
Let me tell you the way we've been doing it.
All right, and do you task them, or does somebody else?
No, I'm a tasker for some. We have about 12 different groups going. and I'm a tasker for several of them. And the kind of tasking we do has to do with Forex, say. Right now we're using, just because it's reasonably volatile, the Australian dollar versus the U.S. dollar in the foreign exchange market. And we ask, starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, will the Australian dollar move up a certain amount before it moves down that certain amount, or will it move down? So we're basically asking a binary question, up or down. And if we get strong sessions from one or two or three people, the groups often have, you know, five or six transcripts coming in, and they point in the up direction, then we actually put in trades in the up direction. And both the best viewers and APPI are now actually making money using this remote viewing technique.
All right, so you do this, and how do you profit from it?
We have an account, a Forex account. We happen to use Interactive Brokers, a billion-dollar organization, and we trade. Just like, it's no different really than trading stocks. We used to do stock options. You can do the same thing with stock options. You want something which is volatile so you can get in and out within a day. In other words, that tasking also includes by 8 o'clock the next day, get out no matter what. And typically, because the foreign exchange markets, things like options, are so volatile that as long as you have this edge over chance of, say, an edge over chance of 10%, which gets you up to 60%, you can marginally make money. But when you get up to 70%, you now start doing quite well.
Very well. I mean, you start defying the odds when you do that.
And that's exactly what precognition is all about, defining the odds and getting accurate information.
Marty, is one as strong as the many, or do you need a group of people to do this?
That's one of the things that we're working very hard on right now. And the group process does help, but we haven't seen the hit rate. That's what we call a hit rate, you know, making a profit, what percentage of the time when you actually trade, okay? So let's call that a hit rate. The best groups are actually up at like 75%. Now, this is day-to-day. Remember, we're doing this often.
But that's versus, still outstanding.
Absolutely. And we have one group, so that's our best group. A lot of the other groups are doing 60%. Some are doing less than chance. And it partially depends on the group manager who takes in these predictions. Remember, they're remote viewing transcripts that are associated with this up or down move. And it's a combination of the skill of the remote viewers and the judging process, and all that is brought together by the group manager. That's why we have groups. Some of our individuals are also up at 75%. So, you know, I can't categorically say that the group process is ultimately the best way and we're going to get up to 80, 90%. But that's where we're headed. I don't know what the top of this is. My sense is that with a group process, we actually can get accurate up to 80, 90%. I've actually stated at an international remote viewing conference that our next objective is to get up to 80% over the long term. You know, we have some people that do 80% already for like the last 25 predictions, but then they might go down. They won't stay up for the real long term.
Is there a backlash with this, Marty, though? I've always heard that, you know, if you get a little too greedy, something could go wrong.
I believe that's true. And that's because, remember, this information is coming up through your psyche, okay, through your subconscious, from something bigger than you. And minimizing the noise is one of the key parts of the kind of personal training that goes on, that each viewer has to do themselves. You know, you can only teach a viewer so much, and then pretty soon it gets up to their own abilities and their ability to learn and improve. But if you start getting greedy, you just know that's going to create noise. We have the statement that we make virtually all the time, over and over again: wager wisely, get rich slowly. And I just think that says so much about the mindset you have to have. Accepting precognition as being real, as being just a natural capability that you have, that you can integrate into your life in a natural fashion, means, hey, why rush it? You can just, you know, use it, sure, for wagering on financials in your life, but bring it in other ways. I'm finding that I'm getting precognitive insights about things much more than I used to, 10 years ago. I will know when I'm going to meet somebody before they sort of show up in my life. I'll start thinking about them and even thinking about what the conversation might be. And so by doing this, you can do it to help yourself personally, financially, but it also just helps in other ways. It's just there.
All right. Now, give us your methodology for doing this.
Okay.
How do you key in on something and then watch it and, you know, decide we're going to do this and invest in it? What do you do?
Exactly. The protocol, and that's what makes kind of remote viewing a little bit different from many other of the psychic things. It's done in a purposeful fashion with a protocol. Now, for doing the wagering part, we use what's called associative remote viewing. And it works as follows. First, you have to have a very specific task. That is so important. The tasking has to be very specific. The tasking that we use is describe and sketch the photo site that you're going to see tomorrow after the market closes, say. And a photo site is a photo, but it's much more than the photo. It's what your normal senses could pick up if you were at the site when the photo was taken. Okay, so that's the tasking, to describe. I'll use the word photo, but you know, it might have sounds, it might have smells, all of that. Now, so that's a remote viewing task. You're going to describe a photo you're going to see in your own future. However, behind the scenes, the tasker that set this up actually has two possible targets. Let's say, for example, one might be a whale coming out of the water and, you know, splashing and all that kind of activity. The other might be the Eiffel Tower. And let's just say the tasker has associated the whale with up move, okay, and the Eiffel Tower with the down move, and all that's done randomly. But what the tasker knows is he's going to show tomorrow whatever actually happens. So if the Forex market moves up, the viewer's going to see a whale. If the Forex market moves down, the viewer is going to see the Eiffel Tower. Okay, so he puts this tasking out to the remote viewer, and back comes a transcript that says, action, water, I smell an animal, does stuff like that. It may have some other things which might not be right, but enough so that the tasker, who will also, say, be the judge, knows that, how did the remote viewer get that? Must have been because he sees the whale target tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So the tasker now can wager in the up direction.
Now, with all this incredible accuracy, you should be worth a fortune.
Well, this is all relatively new in terms of us getting to where we can now identify the best viewers and have them, you know, committed to doing this in a regular fashion. I will tell you that I do hope, and again, remember, we're sharing this with the viewers. It's not like we keep it to ourselves. But I am, in fact, hoping that they and APP and APPI will, in fact, make a fortune. But I also want to tell you that for me, I'm old enough and been around long enough that while, hey, I'm not going to object to making a fortune, that's terrific. I will put it to good use. But the objective is to educate society. If we get enough people who are making a living at this, so it's clear that this is a profession, so you're now a professional precogger, society will take notice. More and more people will be drawn to that profession, and the most talented ones will indeed be able to use it as a professional, get paid as a professional, but then we can start getting into these other kinds of applications as well.
Now, the sports outcomes, do you literally predict the winner of an event?
We do the winner often, but more often, at least in my groups. Now, some of the other groups go for the winner of a game. I like to go for what are the 50-50 probability wagers, bets, that the sports book people do. And that happens to be, for example, on baseball, or football, over under. So for baseball, for example, over under means the total number of runs between both teams.
Mm-hmm. So you're betting on scores and things like that.
Right, but notice we associate it with these photos because remote viewers love to describe interesting photos.
That's right. Well, that makes it easy for them.
Exactly, as opposed to over or under, which is called sixth choice, and it's been shown not to be as good as the more interesting description of a photo.
Did you look at, like, the Preakness and predict the winner of that horse race?
You know, we didn't do that one. In the past, I've actually done the Kentucky Derby way back when, and we actually paid some attention to the lottery.
Hold on for a second, Marty. We're already at the top of the hour, but we've got another one to go, plus phone calls with you on remote viewing next.